And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. And we're going to have a really good show today. And I would call it peace on earth and peace of mind as we come out of this Martin Luther King weekend. And there's been so many events there this weekend. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And I have a number of guests in the studio. We have three in here right now. We have Don Bothy. Am I saying it right? Are you? Okay. And then I get everybody mic'd up. And I have Cynthia. And say your last name for me, Cynthia.
Erinander.
Erinander. And Alaric. And Marshall's in here helping me. And then we are expecting Puna Dawson and Greg. Say his name.
Crow. Greg Crow.
Greg Crow. Okay, sometimes I'm not as good with everybody's last names. But I would like to say that Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Store and Bikram Yoga.
Reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Bikram Yoga Kauai, located in Kapa'a, provides authentic Bikram Yoga. A 90-minute beginner series is practiced in a heated studio with newly remodeled hot showers and changing rooms. All levels welcome. Improves physical health and overall well-being. Boutique open and classes available 7 days a week. KauaiBikramYoga.com or 823-9642.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii, 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Simrit Kaur and Jai Dev Singh present a live music Kundalini yoga experience at the Princeville Community Center's Aloha Room on February 12th and 13th. Yoga, music, and meditation. Join for one or multiple sessions. More info and registration at jaidevsingh.com or simritkarmusic.com. Mahalo to Anahata Sanctuary and Bose.
And mahalo for listening to Kauai Community Radio. So, this weekend, there was so many things going on. It was Martin Luther King weekend, and I got guests in here. You guys are all welcome to be able to pipe in if you want to. Dr. Ann Wright, who was a guest last week, Colonel Ann Wright, she spoke with the Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice, really doing an emphasis on why we have too much war, why we don't need war, and a great discussion of what's particularly happening in the Pacific. She was 29 years in the Army and 19 years in the State Department, and moving away from the whole effort as the Iraq War began in 2003, and she resigned, feeling that it was not necessary. The Interfaith Council, they did a great show, show program on Monday down at the Lihui Neighborhood Center. They had discussions from both an Episcopal preacher and a leader from the Islamic faith, and that was really a nice event for people to just kind of get together and connect and realize that we have so much more alike than we have different. And also, we had the International Food Justice Summit. There was that's gone around for four islands. Today, they are over in Oahu having a big meeting and training. We had four women from different places, from Mexico, Nigeria, Malaysia, and Switzerland, and it was really, really great. And I recorded it, and we might play different pieces of it later on, not on this show, but in other shows. Had a little bit of a heavy accents, though. They were definitely all fresh to America.
What did they have to say?
Well, they shared, I tell you, every story was great, but the Nigerian story was particularly profound, where they had been basically a company called Dominion Farms, it's sort of an interesting choice of names, had been in Nigeria for quite some time and were trying to genetically engineer their cassava and all their bananas, their basic food crops, which was really difficult for them. And everybody, but particularly women, really managed to eventually drive them out and actually get their own farms back. So that was a big example of success. The story from Mexico was very much focused on their corn seed, and there are pieces of success in being able to keep their corn sacred. Their corn is sacred to them in the way kalo or haloa is to the Kanaka Mo'oli, the Hawaiian people. And, you know, all of them had pieces of success. Malaysia, but what to me, when you take the big lens and you look at what it's showing, is in sharp focus in those countries of how much people become disempowered when their land is taken from them, and really the damage that comes from monocropping. Never even mind the pesticides and what is the case of the food. When there's monocropping food for export, it's a loss of environment and culture and everything else locally, and the ability of people to have a rightful livelihood. And we're not really meant to have to work so hard everywhere all the time I'm not putting down restaurants, but I mean having a job that is really about making money instead of making food or making something that they want to have. So that was very good. This weekend also, yesterday, was the 123rd anniversary of the overthrow of Queen Liliuokalani. That was a really tough experience, and how that lined up is sugar started here because of the Civil War, and when the loss of the slaves and the ability to utilize the slaves in the south of the United States happened, Hawaii became a very good place for growing sugar, and they brought in the people from Asia, mostly Portugal and a few other places, but mostly from Asia, and they were indentured servants, and that worked well. But by 1893, the war issue in America was resolved enough that they wanted to start growing sugar in a meaningful way down there again and having that be the main area. And so when they decided, okay, we're only buying sugar from the United States, that was bad news for all these people who had invested in sugar up here, you know, 30 years earlier. So they overthrew the queen, and that was the Security Council. I might not have all of my history detailed, but I do actually know that that's basically the right story. And so that change in American policy is what caused the change for the Security Council in Hawaii. The Committee of Safety is what they called themselves. It was 13 businessmen, and they managed to overthrow the queen, and she thought that the United States government would get behind her and call them off, but they did not. And Grover Cleveland did apologize, but in the end, you know, we're still living with the legacy of that. Great. And I've got Puna Dawson coming in, and that is who I've been kind of holding this story for. So did you hear any of it? I'm talking about the overthrow and with the music vigil at Iolani Palace. So that was a really great thing that happened this weekend. I saw lots of songs and really good elements. The lawful Hawaiian government was here on Kauai, and they were having their legislative convening. So I went and I sat in on some of it, and I would say that my general impression was very good of what was going on with the lawful Hawaiian government. And I'm going to get Puna mic'd up here real quick. So anyway, with that group, I sat in and I listened, and I would say they beat my expectations. It was, I don't know what I was expecting, but the questions that were asked were really good. I felt like it was very much a legitimate discussion by a formulative council building a government. Many people have asked me, well, how would they begin? And that was exactly the types of questions that they were asking. Poona, I think you know Roselle Bailey, is that correct? Let's see if I got you mic'd up okay. Yes. Try one more time?
Yes.
Yes. So I ended up having dinner with her, and she said definitely to tell you hello. She is a really, really instrumental figure, you know, in this whole renaissance of the Hawaii movement of coming forward and reconnecting with the culture.
Yes, absolutely. Roselle, you know, for quite a few years was here on the island of Kauai and helped to bring about a lot of the recognition of the different special places of our island here, our island home, and helped to instill pride and make the connection of the past in caring for what's necessary in the present so that we have it for the people in the future.
Yes. And I read a bio, like, I've known you for a pretty long time, I'd say almost 30 years.
Don't believe everything
you read. Okay, 25, something like that. And I just saw recently, though, I didn't realize you were such a princess, actually. Oh. You have the bloodline on you.
We all do.
Yeah.
But Princess Ali'i, the system, the Hawaiian system is foundation, and it's really about responsibility. So being an Ali'i just gives more responsibility or noted responsibility of us caring for one another, taking care of the values of family, Hawaiian wealth, family, water and land.
Yes, and I like the word wai or vai means water, and vai vai means wealth, which to me means a lot of water, right?
Yeah.
You know, and when you're looking at that. So, so have you followed the lawful Hawaiian government much?
Yes. Yes.
It was a well-run meeting, and she was a dignitary here or a representative from Maui. Great group of people, and it was really fun for me to see people that I've been now seeing when I've gone over to the Mauna Kea movement. And just seeing how empowered people are. And I look at all the different sovereignty groups as political parties in the Hawaiian nation. I work hard to actually not be so close that I pick one over the other, because then I lose my neutrality. But I'm giving them a big thumbs up for having a great event and a really well structured event. So I'm going to state a few other things that are going on right now, and then we're going to get to our larger discussion, which Poona is one that has really helped to bring this story to us. So tomorrow, opening of the state legislature, I want to say that the Democratic priority list, and we have one Republican, for what it's worth, we have one Republican in our legislature. So when it's the Democrat majority, they're not joking when they're saying the majority. I liked seeing that finding housing for the homeless or the houseless was the number one thing on that priority list. Also, food production, taking care of the land. So I'm going to be really diligent to see that they actually stick with those ideas. I know it's very difficult. A few other announcements. Marshall, you had one on actually dealing with the housing issue, right?
This is about medical care.
Okay, medical care. Okay, share that one.
The deadline to enroll for the affordable health care is January 31st. and that's for anyone who is not eligible for Medicaid or for health insurance from an employer. And there are three ways that you can check that out. You can go to healthcare.gov. You can call the health insurance marketplace, 1-800-318-2596, or you can get somebody to help you. And if you go to the Hawaii Health Connector, you can get more information about that. And if you had health care last year through the Hawaii Health Connector, you do have to reapply for 2016.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I didn't know you would have to reapply. Okay, a couple more events coming up. Next Monday, Race to Extinction is playing. That's another film by Apollo Kauai and Malama Kauai. Chief is Kamakahele at 5:30. There's on Tuesday, and I am not going to be at this meeting because I'm going to be on the air. Next Tuesday at 4 o'clock, I wish I could also go there. It's very important. The general plan update, they are going to be working on land use. So if people are concerned about land use, like they're being kicked off their land or they can't find any place to land, if they can't have housing, don't underestimate the importance of showing up for these meetings. For the most part, there's very, very little attendees at these meetings, and it's when the decisions are being made and the visioning is being set. So that is next Tuesday, general plan update. Next week, we're going to have the base commander, Bruce Hay, back on. He really was appreciative of the last show that he was on here. He didn't feel like he got to hear enough of the callers, so he's coming back in for the first hour to really hear from people who have ideas or concerns about the Navy's impact on the ocean. They can call in and speak directly with him. And then after that, we've got an energy innovator, a free energy innovator. His name is Mike Nashif, who's going to be in here. And I don't know if the people in the room here have met him, but when I read his bio, I thought, okay, the people in this room here need to meet him because he's a veteran from the Iraq Wars. He has had PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as traumatic brain injury. And that is a big piece of what we're going to be discussing today, and the technology that's out there for helping relieve some of the challenges, or I should use the word heal. And I even was lucky enough just today, I've said this a couple weeks ago, I was going to do this, I was able to have an electroencephalogram to be looking at how my brain works, because I have had traumatic brain injury, so I'm going to be a guinea pig for seeing how that goes. And finally, I'm letting people know we're going to end the show today with a song for Glenn Frey, who passed away yesterday. We're very sad about that, and he has extra special space in the hearts of Kauai Community Radio. He was one of our financial founders of this station. He helped to make this station happen. His kids went to Hanalei School. He's a part of our community and a singer from the Eagles. So that's what you're going to be hearing as we come up. But this is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia on KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. And I'm going to begin with you, Puna. I'd like you to kind of start this off. We had dinner the other night, and that was wonderful. And you had so much good things to say about the Kanaka culture here and just where and how some of meditation has actually helped you and what, because that's a big piece of this.
So I like to say that having the opportunity to hear and be a part of transcendental meditation, it was alignment to the Hawaiian thought of clearing and bringing ourselves to a place of peace. It's done in many ways, in the Hawaiian way. Transcendental meditation, I learned and watched and saw such great alignment of intention that it was very easy for me to be a part of. the group and individual sharing.
Where did you get exposed to it?
Literally. here on Kauai in Talk Story, and I'm thankful to Stuart and Mokihana Zimmerman, because it was the two of them that actually took me under their wing and helped me to see how beneficial it would be. And through that experience, beneficial to myself, and especially to our children. And through their help and encouragement, I got to go and visit the center.
And where's that?
I say it, Maharishi's town.
Fairfield, Iowa.
And it was such an experience to see joy, children happy to go to school, happy to be in a community. It was so uplifting. And I knew this was something that was going to be beneficial to our community.
That's wonderful. And Cynthia and Alaric, I'd like to bring your voices on here. Just to explain a little bit, first off, about how the brain works and how it functions, and then why meditation impacts that.
So I'll start.
Aloha.
And we are very fortunate because the human brain is a miracle in motion. Brain has 200 now, they say, billion brain cells, all contained in this little box in our head, and it orchestrates our whole life. Everything we think, how we act, how we feel. When we eat our lunch, it's allowing us to taste our food. And it's really how those billions of cells are working together. If our life is happy, if our life is worried, if we're feeling fortunate, it's all about how the brain cells are working together. If they're working together, we have good health, we're happy, we're successful. If they're not working together and they're disorderly, then it's just the opposite. So it really is the key issue when you're looking at anything, PTSD, ADHD, homelessness, everything is all about brain activity. The seat of consciousness is not in the brain. It's actually in the activity of the brain.
And I noticed that you have a PhD on your name here. What is that PhD in?
My PhD is in international relations from a very prestigious university in Switzerland.
Oh, okay. So it's and Alaric, is you also are a doctor, right?
PhD.
PhD.
Yes.
And so what is your background in?
Neuroscience, brain research. I got my degree many years ago at UCLA and been doing brain research for decades now. 40, 50 years, and it's such a joy to be able to spend a life looking and thinking about the brain, and even more of a joy to find technologies that can bring out the full creative potential of everybody's brain. This is what brings great fulfillment. Otherwise, the intellectual pursuit can get pretty dry. But when you have dynamics, technologies which are simple and effortless, then you find that all that pent-up potential in everybody's brain, all that goodness and peace and orderliness and happiness is there in everybody. It may not be there every day or on the surface all the time, but it's what's within every human being. And everybody deserves to have that experience. And throughout history, of course, we've always been driven towards trying to find that great peaceful, centered state of life, being in tune with ourselves and our family and our land. that's the nature of human life, to be connected.
Well, I would like to thank you for your willingness and it seems like true interest in speaking with my son today, who was aggressively curious.
Yes, I think he took after his mom, not in the aggressive part, but the curious part. And we have to say, we took your brainwaves today. This is one of the fun things we did today, first
yes.
time back on the island.
Yes, that was fun.
And I have to say right off the bat that Felicia's brain, for all those people who are listening to her over this last so many years and have known Felicia, regardless of what you think her story is, all right, she has a very coherent brain. In fact, looking at the brain, we did different brain mappings. And seeing stuff over the last 40 years, her brain is probably, not probably, but it is, based on the EEG alone, a better functioning brain than most people in society. So we're looking at a very good brain here, staring across the aisle.
Oh, well, you know what? That actually really surprised me.
I know, but I'm not hyping it. This is what I saw after all these decades of experience. This is
well, I'm happy to hear that, and for the listener who may or may not know, I've maybe said it a few times, I have had three very significant head injuries, four skull fractures in my childhood, and I know I have brain injury that shows up on MRI. So, you know, I'm always thinking, and I was told in childhood that I would be losing my capacity as I age. And so, you know, I kind of sit there always sort of watching for it and have I don't want to say worry about it. I try and have gratitude for every single day. That is basically working. But so it was actually really nice to see the brain waves and seeing that everything was doing pretty good.
Pretty connected. I would say it was very, very good.
Yeah. So that felt really good.
So you've got something to work with.
I have something to work with. So
she's
yay.
Got more than most people working right now.
So you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. We're at 4:30. So that was good, and thank you for, it was a blessing to have you doing that, and I appreciated even, looking at my son, who was curious, so he got to see how his brain functions, and that was really nice, and I tend to have a pragmatic mind, so I connect a little bit deeper with the science of what's going on, and we can get to beyond the science in a little bit, but can you give us a little bit of the science of what it means to have a coherent brain and what you were kind of looking at when you're trying to see how people's brains are functioning?
Right. So over the history of the last century, let's say, the emphasis has been on locating parts of the brain and what each part may do and contribute. But the key word here is contribute. And it's only been recently with the technology, computer and EEG and so forth, and neuroimaging, we've been asked, what does it mean to contribute? What does the back contribute to the front and the left to the right and vision with auditory and so forth? And we now know very clearly that the key fundamental value of how the brain functions and therefore functions well is in the connectivity. How integrated, it's a must-use term, but it's true. You have all these hundreds of billions of brain cells, Dr. Cynthia said. The question is, at any one moment, how many are really working together? And this is where it comes down to. So now this whole network idea that in ADHD, this network's not working.
That's hyperactivity disorder, attention
right.
deficit hyperactivity disorder. Right.
And so all the different, you could say, psychological or psychiatric structures that have been promoted over the years, they're now beginning to look at the brain basis of them. And in every case, it's some shift or dysfunction in the network, the level of collective activity, how everybody's working together. And so to actually help these individuals, whether it's depression, schizophrenia, autism, ADHD, PTSD, for these individuals that are having difficulties, the idea is let's bring more order back to these networks. If we can bring order to these networks and allow them to work better again, then we can correct what these people are experiencing and suffering from. And indeed, it's the case.
And so when you correct that, I know it's somewhat through the exercise of transcendental meditation, but I haven't done it yet. I'm going to take the class. I'm going to learn how to do it. But so it's basically helping your brain to fire better, like from one area to the next?
Right. It's training the brain. It's like going to the gym and lifting weights. Your muscles change, and the muscles take on a new quality. When you practice this technique of transcendental meditation, it's a form of meditation or movement of the mind that leads to the transcendence, or this inner, quiet, peaceful, unbounded structure of our awareness, our true self, what's really what's inside each individual. That subjective experience of deep, silent bliss, that has objective qualities. You can see it in the brain waves. You can see it in the functioning of the hormones and then the skin resistance and breath and so forth. So there are very clear objective criterion or patterns related to different states of consciousness, surface waking versus, in this case, transcendental. And all we want is a technology to allow any individual to very easily and very simply and effortlessly move from the surface to the depth.
And when I'm looking at, I tend to think in metaphors. It seems to me like a really serious power nap. Is that fair? Like getting rejuvenated in a short period of time where your brain, like when you sleep, your body heals itself a bit. Mm-hmm. So it's, having not done it, a deep, deep quieting, calming of the brain. Like my brain never goes, it feels like it never stops. And even when I'm asleep, I wake up and then I got to get up and write this email or something. I have so many things going on. I feel like a beehive is in my head. So maybe it's calming the bees.
Yes. It's like a reset, a very quick, a very effortless, a very enjoyable reset. Like imagine working all day at the office or wherever we are. And at the end of the day, I'm going, boy, that was a long day, and I'm done. I got to go home now. If you sat in your office for 20 minutes and practiced technique, you would open your eyes at the end of the 20 minutes and go, I haven't done anything yet today. I'm completely energized, clear, happy, settled. Now I go home to my family or whatever and enjoy a full evening. It's a reset of the whole physiological mechanism to this very orderly, calm, settled state of maximum creative potential and functioning.
And I want to grab Poona in here just because I've known her for so long. I've just been meeting Dawn, and we have a wonderful time. I've met you in the past few weeks. Poona, how does it translate into your life? Like, do you have a before and after window in that time, and is that your experience?
Yes, I will say, for people who know me, that are around me a lot, that would be my grandchildren, my children, and now my great-grandchildren, they'll say, Grammy doesn't sleep very much. I don't want to miss anything. But part of it is when I do go to sleep, when I'm at peace, completely at peace. Not to say that I didn't do that before learning about transcendental meditation. It was understanding how deep I could be in the simple joy of sitting in the ocean. You know, we, as people of this Aina, go in the ocean all the time, and we surf, we paddle, but there is that calm that you feel. And I may have been doing it in the past before learning about transcendental meditation. It made me aware and understood what was happening, what actually I was doing, you know.
So you found, if I'm hearing you correctly, you found aspects of it was somewhat inherent in some of the different practices that you do. I think of you as a kumuhula, as if I were to say, what does Auntie Poona do? I'd say she's a kumuhula. Is that a fair description?
I'm a Hawaiian practitioner.
Hawaiian practitioner.
Yes.
So, within the Hawaiian practices, there are activities that bring aspects of that out. So this
yes.
is just maybe like concentrating or identifying aspects that are already characteristics of actions that we have.
Yes, and I will say, in understanding what actually is going on, I'm going to say physically, with the ability to come to this place of complete peace, you know, I did this as a child, grew up. It's part of our culture. But to understand it from a scientific point of view and to see the changes in people and seeing the changes in myself, there are no words. when people are at peace, the ability for us to accomplish great things, there are no words.
And Dawn,
yes.
You live here in Princeville, correct?
I do.
And so you are a teacher of this.
Yes, I've been teaching TM for 40-some years all around the country. And I settled in Kauai. Well, I was here a while ago, but we just came back again in 2009, and we've been very active with the TM course.
Okay, and so are you going to be the person who's teaching me?
Yes, I have that wonderful privilege on Friday. I'm very excited about that.
Okay, and so I actually, I don't even know when it is. It's different times for everybody, is that right? Is there other people doing it through
yes,
the weekend?
There will be several people in the same course with you. And on Friday, each person will be guided into their first experience with TM personally. That's a very important part of it. We don't teach TM
Transcendental meditation. Yeah.
That's right. I should thank you for correcting me, transcendental meditation. So the first appointment is personal, it's private, and we guide you into your first experience. The following 3 days are a class situation, about an hour and a half to 2 hours each day, and everyone who has learned on a given day, in this case Friday, will gather together in that class and will go through very specific pieces of knowledge to help support your growing experience with TM.
And is that class full?
It is not full yet. No, we still have room.
So if people wanted to go, is there a number?
Yes. I would encourage them to call 775-455-1222.
Okay, wow. Well,
and
or do that again because that's 775-455-1222. All right.
And the other way that they can reach us is to come on Wednesday night to the Princeville Community Center. They can meet their teachers, my husband Greg and I, who will be teaching this class with you. And they can set up their own personal appointment time and ask any private questions they have.
That's and Princeville Community Association building?
That's correct. At 7:30 on Wednesday night. And we're going to encourage everybody who takes this class with Felicia to continue on beyond this class and go and watch Alaric and Cynthia do the brainwave presentation that they're planning on Sunday. That's going to be held at the Church of the Pacific. They can tell you more about that in just a minute. But what I'd really like to do, if it's possible, to tell you a couple of stories about transformation in students that I've taught.
Okay, and I want to just ask
sure.
one other thing.
Sure.
It's like, so, I'm sorry, I should know more of this before I bring you guys in here. I just know, okay, I'm going to take a class this weekend. Are there classes that go on, like, every weekend, or is it something that people would come to these presentations and you would tell them?
Yes, that's correct. We tend to teach a class once a month.
Okay.
There are certain months where we get calls from people or groups that want us to teach them, and so we'll set up special courses. We will do courses that are unique to families. If they want to do a course privately, we will do courses in industry and business. I've done a lot of that in my lifetime. And we'll do courses for just neighborhood people.
And it looks like it's just 2 hours a day. It's not like all day. It's not people aren't committing a whole weekend. It looks like just learning a technique.
It's 2 hours a day for 4 consecutive days. The first day is a private appointment. The next 3 days in a group class. And from there are many different follow-up programs that we offer to make sure you're getting the full benefits, to help you to understand the growth of your experiences, and to enhance the overall experience that you have with TM in your daily life. There's quite a few different advanced programs that we offer regularly to
okay.
our meditators.
And for my regular listener, they know I'm basically a pretty pragmatic person who's thinking about ordinances and how we're going to move the bridge or, you know. So it will be interesting to see the outcome on that for me. Okay, so tell me a couple of these experiences
but I worked quite a bit at the Institute for Living in Hartford, Connecticut years ago, and that's a psychiatric outpatient facility, and they had tremendous, tremendous benefits that were seen in their patients. And as Cynthia and Alaric will tell you a whole lot more about, what Dr. Gluck, the director there, said, that the more chaotic the brainwave patterns are, the more chaotic their behavior was. And when that changed as a result of meditation, they went way down on their meds, and they were able to sleep better and get and integrate into society. We had a, I think she was about 17 or 18 years old, and she was on already 5 different prescription drugs for various things. And from ADD to anxiety to sleeplessness to I don't even remember
all of
them.
Well, a lot of times the drugs create a side effect that demands the next drug in the cascade.
And once she started meditating, in less than 6 months, she was off all her drugs, and she completed her college program, got her bachelor's degree, and she's an entrepreneur now. She's much happier than she was. There was another young lady who had a severe mental condition that I worked with, who was not even allowed to go into any of the care programs because she was so disruptive. And her mother asked me, will you please teach her? And I said, I will only teach her if you will bring her here every single day. And in her case, I spent a lot of extra time beyond the 4 consecutive days. But within 6 months for her, she was in a nursing program. So that was pretty profound. And my own nephew got himself into a whole bunch of problems with drugs and things like that, and at 17 years old. And he was facing a 10-year prison sentence. And the judge allowed me to teach him TM as an anger management program. And we taught him that, and he went through a nurse's program. And he is the happiest boy you can imagine, and getting rave reviews from his patients.
Wonderful.
So those are just a few.
I think what Dawn has been telling us from her experience is what has been borne out with the research over the last 60 years or so, and that is all these difficulties people can experience seem to resolve themselves very simply, relatively quickly in many cases, and without much struggle or any struggle. It's a simple melting away of this inner incoherence. The recent study just published last week with PTSD at Eisenhower VA.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, which means somebody's been through a really rough experience and they get away from it and they can't separate that might happen again. Is that a good assessment?
About 3% of every lady who has a baby has PTSD. That can be a traumatic experience for some small percentage of ladies, and they suffer from that. Normally, we think of PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder as people who have a more, in a sense, severe combat-related...
violence, profound violence somehow, or over repeated amounts of time.
Right. Not only just a violent experience, but being in a violent environment, so your whole brain is now attuned to every movement and every sound, and you're constantly worrying about survival. So you train your brain to survive, and when you come back into an environment which is relatively peaceful like the States and Hawaii, everything, the cart in the supermarket, something falling off a shelf, somebody saying something too loud, all of these things spark that inner training that you have to stay alive, but it's inappropriate for your new environment. And how do you deal with that? And most of the time it's either done with some therapy or with psychotropics, and they found that it's not that successful, as you know. Only about 30% of all antidepressants work. So psychotropics are of limited value. And what we found in the past, whether it was non-veterans or in the current Iraq war or Afghanistan, that these soldiers that come back, they start TM after so many other trying of VA activities, or not trying at all.
Veterinary Affairs? Veterans Affairs,
yes,
VA?
Yes, Veterans Affairs, excuse me. And they find that very quickly... they're able to center themselves, eliminate this overreactivity of the brain, feel safe, sleep at night, have a much calmer relationship with their family and peers at their work and so forth. It's quite remarkable. I mean, this is very, very wonderful research to show that these people who suffer so much can, in just a short time, with no effort, there's no therapy per se behind it. It's just.
And it's not a religion.
It's not a religion. It's not an intellectual thing. You sit quietly, have the simple technique, After 20 minutes, you come out feeling really calm and settled. And in the repeated training of the mind to that increased orderliness, over time you have that same orderliness in your daily life. And you return to where you were before all those traumatic experiences. It's a lovely thing.
And I looked at some of the websites that was given to me about a month ago, and I saw David Lynch, if it's davidlynch.org or something, might be able to, you guys say that, because it looks like, because there is a certain cost in getting the training, and there is, David Lynch basically can help pay for people's training, is that correct? Is that what I saw? It's like, what would you call it, a sponsorship? Or?
Yeah. David Lynch is organizing not only himself, but many celebrities. In fact, I just wanted to say, in terms of how they're raising money to pay for different projects, people like? Sorry. Katy Perry and Russell Brand, they're doing these concerts so that they can raise money so students in inner city schools can learn. In Africa, they're teaching refugees. It's just an incredible program that David, over 500,000 people now have been sponsored to learn transcendental meditation. And if you go to davidlynchfoundation.org, there's the most inspiring videos you can watch, especially on PTSD. There's a beautiful program now in the United States at the Indian reservations for the Indians having diabetes, because huge problem there. And it really brings tears to your eyes to hear these people talk about their experience of what they've had to endure, and now with transcendental meditation, giving them the ability to let their mind just settle down, and all that chaos that's in their mind that creates all the problems, whether it's diabetes or hypertension, it just can settle down. You get this very, very deep, profound rest, much deeper than that asleep during TM. And then all that stress and fatigue that we collect one day after the other is able to be released. And then, whether it's hypertension or diabetes, the body can start to heal itself, because it's really rest is the basis of any healing.
So we do a lot on food here and how important it is to eat right. I imagine if you do all these things well, you know, that the better you eat, the better your immune system. The better you sleep, the better your brain works, the better your immune system. I you know, my sensitivity when I think, okay, you know, I think about people that have economic stress or are in very difficult situations. You're not saying it's their fault for it, or that, like, if they're fixing the brain, like, say you lived in Iraq, right? Would transcendental meditation, I mean, can't solve the problems that you're living next to depleted uranium and your neighborhood's getting bombed, or, you know, there's at some level there's a line. It just helps you cope better. Would that be correct? Like, some people are blessed by the nature of their lives more than somebody else.
It also connects you with your deep inner creativity, so that if you're in a place with a lot of problems, you're able to get the rest and relaxation you need to be more available to solve those problems. And that availability to yourself, to your own creative impulses, is definitely a part of TM. And I don't want to get off this topic, but TM is not just for people with PTSD or something, and Alaric and Cynthia can tell you a whole lot about the executive brain and how it resets the brain and helps productivity. But if you're in a war-torn country or in an impoverished area, it's going to help you make decisions that are more useful for you.
And I see Poona nodding her head rather vigorously.
Yes. My whole reason for coming and being here was to say how valuable the opportunity is. Felicia, we live here in
right.
the islands. So we see all the beauty and we see all of the challenges that the people have. And what you mentioned earlier, Don, drugs, all of the things that are negative in our community. I know that we all have responsibilities. But what fills up our well? You know, we take care of others all the time, but there's got to be something that fills up our well. This is what I'm saying to you, why I believe in this technique, if you want to say. It's what helps to fill up my well. And I, as I said, I don't need a whole lot of sleep, but when, because I'm always having opportunities to meditate, and they help you to, they instruct you to do it at the same time or to have it be part of your day. I think I overuse the opportunity, because any time I have the opportunity driving, I put myself in that place. So when I say it fills up my well, I am content. I'm happy. I come from a place of peace. And so when I'm looking at these challenges that come across my plate, I'm able to look at it, turn it around, you know, and look for ways to help the situation.
And so thank you so much. And we will go into some of the more the executive function. I just was, I'll be honest, if I have two selfish reasons in exploring this, I have headaches. I don't want to have any more headaches. If that can help, yay, I'm really good with that. I'm really happy to know my brain isn't falling apart. I'm happy to know that. And I have friends who I love dearly who are people who've come away from wars and different things. And so selfishly, I just don't want that to get squeezed off the table in this discussion because, you know, I wanna help my friends. We do have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you for holding.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Felicia. Thank you for taking this call. And thank you for hosting these knowledgeable people about meditation. Mm-hmm. I wanted to share a quick story about my personal experience with TM.
Transcendental meditation?
I certainly have heard about it since the 60s, although, quite honestly, I haven't really heard about it in many, many years. But around 6 years ago, I started developing a pretty high level of anxiety and insomnia, and it got to a point where it was extreme at times, slight at times. I lost quite a bit of personal time, recreation time, some work time, and I, you know, I went through multiple ways of trying to deal with it, essentially all natural herbs, naturopaths, biofeedback, with some success on and off. Some good times, some bad times. And then back in October, I took the class with Dawn and Greg, got my mantra, started a regular exercise of meditation. And I, you know, meditated over the years a little bit with breathing, with candles, with singing, but nothing regular. And I think the key to transcendental meditation is the regularity, and it is only 20 or 25 minutes twice a day. So after, you know, it was a hard first month, having a brain that's going at 400% and trying to sit for 20 minutes was very challenging. But after the first month or two, I really started easing into my meditations. And this is three months later. My anxiety level is about zero. My insomnia is zero. My energy level has increased. You know, and I know there's been lots of anecdotal studies or lots of anecdotal stories about lots of things, you know, including TM. But I, you know, I know that there, this has, is something that's been scientifically proven. And I really have had nothing but positive experience with it. And it is a very simple technique, you know, if you can even call it a technique. It's just a matter of sitting and slightly focusing on a mantra and letting the natural calm that's in our mind just do the rest.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing, and I'm glad to hear that you are doing much more strongly. And it sounds
so
like...
So are we.
Yeah, it sounds like you feel like you are back on track.
Well, I've had good and bad periods, but this foundation, I feel like I have a stronger foundation. And just, really positive changes. Like, I used to be very proud of multitasking and doing three things at once and accomplishing so much. But I'm really not drawn to multitasking at all. Right now I'm just drawn to focusing on one thing, doing it well, and I think I accomplished more now.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Well, hi to Don and Greg and everyone there. Thank you, Felicia.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Yes. So we're just about at the top of the hour. This is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia and Marshall, and I have four, Greg's still coming in yet, wonderful people, Puna Dawson, Cynthia Arenander, am I saying that right?
Yes.
Alaric Arenander, and Don Bothy. And so Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
Tickets available now for the 7th annual Kauai Classics Concert. This year's concert features principal players from San Francisco's opera and ballet orchestras and symphony. Saturday, January 16th, 3 p.m. at the Church of the Pacific in Princeville. Experience virtuosity up close and personal while supporting the vital work of the Kauai United Way. Concert tickets include pupus and a live auction. For tickets and more information, visit kauaiunitedway.org or call 245-2043. That's 245-2043.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And this is Community Radio, so I see that Kauai Classics already happened. So sorry about that, but I'm sure it was a great event. And so we're really happy with that. Alaric, please continue.
We want to share with the community here the fact that quite a few Hawaiians are having this experience, including the last caller. In fact, on the Big Island in Kahala Kapuna, there was a number of individuals, seniors, who actually began the TM program, Transcendental Meditation Program, and had very good results scientifically in terms of their blood pressure normalizing. In fact, one of the gentlemen, he went to his physician about a year ago, this story was for about a year ago, and his physician said that your blood pressure is now better than a young teenager. So he had gone from being, having risk factors for his blood pressure to having a very good, settled, integrated physiology. And there's a number of experiences from that study, these individuals, not only objectively in terms of science, but also their personal experience.
One gentleman, I love his comment. He said, it really brings you in tune with his culture and the spirituality of it, because when he meditates, he feels he's just with himself, with that oneness of Mother Nature. And then when he comes out, he really can appreciate who he is and his environment, and he had a real kind of oneness feeling about himself. And he said, and then the side effect of that is that my blood pressure is normalized.
And there was one lady, again, an elderly lady, and she said it brought her closer to her Hawaiian traditions, the intrinsic value of that inner peace and appreciation and respect. And this is all spontaneous. It's not an intellectual thing. There's no classes on this is how you should be and you really should take care of your culture and your land. It's not an intellectual pursuit. It's what's inside of these individuals when they get a chance to just settle down and really come out and be who they are. And it's just glorious to hear, very lovely to hear these individuals' lives improving.
And what I loved what Puna said about the ocean, because, you know, until you actually experience transcending, it's kind of hard to use words to explain it. But it is true. You can be on the surface of the ocean, and you can be tossed around with this wave and tossed around with that wave. But what transcendental meditation allows you to do just very effortlessly and very naturally is just settle down to that real quiet depth of the ocean. And when you're in that quietness, it's very orderly. It's the field of order. It's the source of order that keeps the universe organized. And when the brain is identifying with that order, that's who you are, then it is infused in the activity of all those billions of brain cells. And that's what we see with the EEG. So we're really hoping everyone can come to these lectures that we're going to be giving. So you can see that when someone closes their eyes, that EEG machine just takes that coherence, and you see it right up at the top, and it just stays up there, almost 90-95% coherent. This is phenomenal.
EEG is an electroencephalogram, and it's a machine that monitors the activity of your brain.
Right. Basically, the brain is a lot of electricity and chemicals and water and cells, but it gives off electrical signal, very small electrical signal, and with the right technology, you can pick that up at the scalp. It's non-invasive. There's no changing of anything. You're just picking up the signal that's being radiating from the scalp. You amplify it and analyze it, and you can measure the network activity. You can measure how coherent or how integrated the brain is under different conditions, whether you're waking, sleeping, transcending, that the brain can be investigated in this non-invasive way. And you can look at people who are going through different situations, whether depression or anxiety and stuff like that.
And if people want to call in, feel welcome to call in at 808-826-7771. And Marshall, you've been really quiet, but you're up next to your mic. Do you have a question or a thought?
You know, I was wondering, have you seen any evidence that other meditation techniques or traditions have the same effects as transcendental meditation?
There's a growing literature now, research literature. Obviously, there's lots of books and YouTubes and TV shows. But in terms of research, we now know after about 30 years of some comparative studies, and there'll be more coming in the future, that it seems like each technique has its own sort of direction of what it's asking the mind to accomplish. And because each technique is slightly different, or very different, you would imagine the effects on the brain would be different. So, for example, if one technique gives you a specific experience, that'll create a specific brain effect and a specific outcome. Another technique would give a different experience, and therefore a different brain effect, and therefore a different set of benefits. So what we find with TM, or meditation in general, is that there are currently now three forms of meditation that have been analyzed. There are the ones where you're concentrating or focused. Let's say you have a sound, whether your eyes are open or closed, and you're thinking that sound, or it could be a mantra, it could be any sound or phrase, and you're focusing on it. And the idea here is you're not allowed to let it go. You stay with it. You hold on to it. You concentrate. So this is focused attention. And they have brain waves which are indicative of focused attention, that you're on the surface of your mind keeping track of that object just like you would the road traveling at 90 miles an hour. There's another form of meditation which is a little more passive, and this comes into the Vipassana and the mindfulness area. And these individuals, instead of concentrating, are just a little easier now. Now you still have an object of attention. It's either your breath or your body or some aspect of mental activity, and you're watching. You're just watching very easily. It's a little more passive. Now, this also has its electrical signature. It has its very clear description in terms of brainwave activity and neuroscience activity. But what we find is that when a person is doing mindfulness or Vipassana, they still have these objects, and they're still attending on the surface level of activity. They're still focusing. They're still keeping the attention active and aligned with the activity of their body or the environment. So both of these technologies of either concentration or of mindfulness keep the mind active and engaged on the surface level. Now, when they do that,
just like you do anything to the brain, you're going to have a result. And so the research shows that both of these types of techniques will generate some good effects for these people. That's why they do it. That's why they continue to do it, and there's programs and so forth. So it's not that these meditations don't work. Everything works. Taking a walk works. Getting more hugs work. Swimming works, all right? Seeing Puna Dasa, that really works, okay? But so everything that you do in life changes your brain because your brain is always changing. The difference between concentration and mindfulness, if you want to say those are two category names, the third is a transcendental or self-referential. It's an automatic self-reference. In other words, in this case, the attention is not held up on the surface of life. It's not held up on the surface of our thinking and our feeling and our breath and our body. It's allowed to, without any effort, very simply, very naturally, very quickly, settle all the way down to the depth of the mind where we find that inner peace, that inner orderliness, which is there. It's the base of the mind. So TM is fundamentally different, and you can see from the brain waves and neuroimaging, it is different from the others. So each technique gives rise to a specific experience and therefore a specific brain effect and specific set of benefits. And if you look at the benefits, besides the fact that the experiences are different and the brain effects are different, the experiences in terms of benefits are also different. If you examine cardiovascular activity or examine other symptomatic relief, TM, over all the research done, all the techniques give some benefit, all right? Everything helps because they're being more self-referential. They're more attending to who they are. But TM turns out to be much more effective for the single reason that it gets you off the surface of life, off that analysis, the evaluation, off that concentration, and allows you to just be, just to have that simple inner experience of awareness in a very quiet, soft, peaceful way. When you have that experience, the brain becomes maximally orderly, and that maximally orderly brain allows the brain to heal, to fix, to organize, reorganize, and rewire itself so that it becomes what it was meant to be, either 2 weeks ago or 10 years ago, or never really actuated. It allows it to develop its full creative potential. So there's these three technologies. They differ in their techniques, they differ in their experiences, and they differ fundamentally in their benefits.
But you could be any spiritual background that you wanted. It doesn't interrupt being Christian, for say, or
there are people
whatever,
all over the world, from every possible way of life or way of thinking. It makes no difference what you believe, what you think, what you feel. You could say, this technique will never work. It's a complete waste of time. If you just follow the simple instructions, you will get maximum benefit. And it will show in your own life and in the research. So it's not an intellectual thing. It's not a faith thing. It's not a belief thing. You do not have to think it will work or it has to change something. You don't have to change anything. You just have to be willing to sit quietly and just go in.
We have a caller. KKCR, you're on the air. Hello? Are they there?
They hung up, please.
Okay. All right. So call back caller if you just would prefer to speak to the person who answers the phone.
I just wanted to read this summary statement issued by the American Heart Association in April 2013. So according to the American Heart Association, the transcendental meditation technique is the only meditation practice that has been shown to lower blood pressure. The American Heart Association's scientific statement said, because of the many negative studies or mixed results that are on the available trials, all other meditation techniques, including mindfulness and Buddhist meditation, received a Class 3 no benefit level of evidence C recommendation. Thus, other meditation techniques are not recommended in clinical practice to lower blood pressure at this time. So this is a huge thing. The American Heart Association also said that they reported finding that lower blood pressure through transcendental meditation practice is associated with reduced rates of death, heart attack, and strokes.
Yeah, very significant. It's quite remarkable.
Wonderful.
We had a caller who would like to know if there's any transcendental meditation training available on the West Side.
We do have teachers all over the island
And if someone, the closest to the west side that's active, there's a teacher that lives in Poipu and would be very happy, most likely, to assist in, to assist them to learn TM. Anyone that wants to learn, if they just call us, we'll figure out a way to teach them.
And so what number can they call?
They can call. We will refer them to whatever teacher is closest to them. I'm going to just give my personal number because it's the easiest
and
for
this,
me to remember.
And this is a cell phone
this
on the mainland?
It's a cell phone that we carry, but it is a mainland number, yes. It's 775-455-1222. If anybody wants to arrange a class, even a class of three people, we'll come and teach it.
I believe also, I think there's a universal 888 number,
yes.
You know, 800 number, Learn TM. So if anybody in the world, or in particular the United States, is interested, there are classes all over the world, but they just dial 888-LEARN-TM, and somebody will be directed within moments to wherever you need to know.
And how about on the website? There's a website, right?
It's like TM.org.
And is there a reference locator right on the website?
Yes.
Yes, there is.
Okay, I believe we have another caller. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Oops. Hello, I guess that's me?
It's you.
Okay, great. Yeah, I like what you had to say about the Lafo Hawaiian government meeting over the weekend. I was there for it, and it was incredible. You get to see what a real active legislature, how it really goes painstakingly through what they're trying to do like that. But actually, what I'm calling about is the Transcendental Meditation, actually.
Okay, and I do want to take that opportunity to say, yes, good job, Lafo Hawaiian government. Good job.
Fantastic. I was initiated into Transcendental Meditation when I was about 16 or 17 around San Francisco. And, you know, I was growing up and there was drugs around and everything, and I found out when I got involved in the Transcendental Meditation, I wasn't as interested anymore. I didn't need it to find that peace, the fleeting peace of drugs, I guess. And then I ended up traveling and got in a situation where because of some Papalolo that I ended up in a foreign prison for it, and I had the technique already learned, and I was able to go through the trying situations much easier than anyone else around. There were days when I was as content to be there as I would have been outside. I had days on the outside that were more stressful than some of the days inside.
That's very beautiful. That's what the research shows.
And it was very, very useful for me at that point. I was able to not be so angry about the situation that I was in. I learned to play music and speak Spanish and was able to apply myself, learn to read better than I ever had before and appreciated those sort of things. And I remember when I was initiated on the day, and they said, well, what did you experience? What did you feel? And I just said, oh, I don't know. It feels like everything just kind of slowed down a little bit. And they were like, okay, yeah, he got it all right. So there is a very beneficial aspect to it, and I'm glad you're considering it or going to get involved in it, Felicia, because it, I don't know how, a lot of it cannot be described in words, the effects of it, and I don't know. I'm tongue-tied, but
thank you very much for your comments. And may I suggest that if it's ever something you want to take again as a refresher course, you would not be re-instructed, but you could sit in on the classes for free. We'd be very happy to have you audit the classes a second time or a third time or a 20th time. We have a lot of people doing that because they may not get every single point the first time around. So we're very happy to have you come back. We'd love to have you do that.
I always love the group meditations, and it's very wonderful. I don't know, high is probably not the word for it, but centering or whatever you want to call it. So I would like to do that sometime.
Thank you so much for calling in.
There was a book that was published, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago, and the book was called Freedom Behind Bars. We've had many prison programs around the world. Unbelievable. I mean, truly unbelievable results. It's endless, the stories. But basically, the prisoners have a chance to be quiet and find that inner peace twice a day, where otherwise it's just totally chaotic and violent environment. Two things I'll tell you. If you and this is studied in Walpole Prison and outside of Harvard University in Boston, they found that in 18 months, with six other control groups, there's the Muslim group and there's a Christian group and there's the rehab group and there's the get your college degree to group and there's the bread breaking group. In 18 months, out of all these different psychological tests, none of the groups really changed at all. And the TM group excelled in considerably, it's highly significant. In fact, their personal development, and it's a score you can get, their personal inner development was higher than the average Harvard graduate by the time in 18 months. So in prison, in that environment, with this simple technique, they improved more to a level beyond that which the Harvard person has standing outside walking around. And if I might share one other short one.
Okay, and I have two callers holding. Okay.
Study in Africa. In Africa, in most countries, they don't really have prisons. They just have outdoor places with some little places and then barbed wire. And in this one country, they taught TM to the prisoners. And at the end of the year, the president was of the mind to always set everybody free so he looked good. And then usually within 1 or 2 weeks, they're all back in prison because they couldn't do anything else. This one particular year, after having taught everybody in these prisons meditation, nobody came back. And he's sitting there, and the prisons all over the country were empty.
And then, so did they go, okay, no more teaching that, we're running out of business? No.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, because, it's a business.
Yes, it's a business. Yes.
So we have two callers. We'll take the first one. Aloha, thank you so much for holding.
Aloha. I'd like to say that I've been practicing transcendental meditation for about 48 years, and as well as my husband, and we really credit TM for the success we enjoy in life and the harmony in our marriage and the harmony that we seem to bring to the environment wherever we are. And that is because when we meditate, we experience that unifying value. And so my prediction is that when more people practice transcendental meditation in Kauai, we are going to experience a wave of coherence and cooperation and seeing each other's point of view that is going to transform Kauai into the Garden of Eden for the whole world that it really is in its basic, beautiful nature here. And I'm responding to the person who called in from the West Side asking if there was any TM opportunities in the South and West Side. And I'd like to mention that there is a lecture, an introductory talk. Deborah Blachowiak is going to be conducting a lecture along with the Erin Anders on January 30th. And that is a Saturday. And it's going to be at the Freer Center behind Island School, or that is part of the Island School complex, behind KCC. And the talk is, of course, free, and it's going to start at 2 o'clock. So those people in the South Side and West Side and Central Kauai in Lihue are invited to come to that, and Deborah is going to give an introductory course, or she's going to give the lessons in learning TM on February 6th. And so those people who are interested can meet Deborah at the TM talk and then sign up for the February 6th course. And she will meet everyone personally and give the more details about the course. And I just want to compliment the group that are speaking now. There's such a wonderful follow-up program on transcendental meditation in Kauai, and you can learn the technique and have follow-up and support and a global world family in 192 countries of the world. You can go anywhere in the world, and you will come to the TM Center and find family. You can meditate together, and enjoy creating coherence within your own physiology, family, and in that, country. So it's a huge opportunity for creating peace, harmony, and progress in our beautiful Kauai.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for calling, and thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Will Davis.
Hi.
Hi. I live here on Kauai.
Can you turn your radio down? Can you turn your radio off?
Yes.
Okay, so you live here on Kauai? Gotta bring the radio off?
Yes, and I was going to explain that experience Dr. Arunanda was talking about, the three types of meditation. For those who are swimmers, you can be floating around in big waves. That's sort of like focusing your attention. You're stuck in the waves, and you're on the top, bouncing around. And you have an object like a candle or something you're focusing, or you're trying to swim towards a buoy. And the second type, mindfulness, is when you're just still floating on the top of the ocean. But the third type is when you dive down, especially even when there's a stormy day in the ocean, you can dive down, and you'll find even 12 feet below, there's groups of fish, small fish and big fish, that are floating around friendly together. It's very calm down there. So that's what TM does. You can have, especially with chronic illness, or if you're a student trying to pass an exam and your mind's raw and you can't remember the answers, it's like diving down towards very calm, and there's a friendliness there. That's how the TM is also, there's much peer-reviewed research showing that a group of students or the military practicing transcendental meditation can create an effect like a whale diving up and then splashing, and waves spread out in all directions, creating, in this case, a joyful, peaceful effect. And it's shown that just 1% of a society meditating like this can reduce the crime rate in the entire society, or reduce war deaths and so forth. And since I'm also a veteran school teacher, and I've taught in schools where there's crime and drugs and so forth, I'd like to also add that TM increases the ability to solve math problems with higher speed and accuracy, as well as all types of problems in school. Kids who want to rise to the top, it's a good technique for them to use. That's what I wanted to add.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, have a great day. Thank you very much.
You too. So, all right, I've heard something about that before, but maybe you guys can expand on that. And let me ask you, Marshall, somebody just called in, though, too, right? Do they have a question? Okay. So that was somebody asking if I have mentioned the convening of the lawful Hawaiian government. And, yes, we have, and good job, guys and girls, women. Great job. It was this weekend, and they did a very good job. We have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hey, how did Felicia? You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but talk right into your phone because you're dropping in and out.
How's that? Better?
Better.
Hey, how's it? I just came out of that meeting for the Kauai plan.
Oh.
And it was pretty good. I got to take that back. It was just the same old slop. But,
okay.
It kind of was, sidewalks and this, that, and that's all good. But, I went out and part of the plan that they discussed today that was germane for us to be able to talk about was, because it wasn't the entire island. It was only Hanapepe, Kekaha, and then the three communities out on the North Shore, Kilauea, Princeville, and
Hanalei.
And so, they're talking about sidewalks, and they just, they basically go through the same thing. So I got to testifying, and I said, look, everybody wants sidewalks, but if you don't put the wastewater treatment infrastructure in, it ain't going to work. The reason the sidewalks work by the new Safeway out in Lihue is because Lihue is already tapped into a sewer that goes to a wastewater treatment. And if you stay put in, you know, raised sidewalks, it's just only going to go and flush the water somewhere. And it's not going to go to a wastewater treatment.
So,
and if we're talking a plan, why aren't we talking about sustainability? And then I also brought up that, you know, let's stop talking about preserving farmland and let's start talking about creating the infrastructure to process the farmed product.
Well, and we got to do both of those. You're going to find I will consistently disagree with you. I want to be backing up the farm lands, but go on.
No, I understand, but if it only has that language, right? If it's just the same, it's the same language they use when they created the Molawahui, where they subsidized the View Bluff lots. They charged big dollars for the View Bluff lots so they could subsidize the more viable farm lots. And yeah, I agree with all of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, there wasn't any substance to the plan, right? And so if you're just going to keep telling me as a community, oh, let's preserve. Well, you know, I agree with that. And I'm not saying let's not. And I absolutely advocate 100%. But if we're talking about a general plan, let's include what you guys all talk about. And that's getting these facility infrastructure in so that a small farmer can make a you know, maybe not a complete living, but, you know, a decent living, you know, maybe even pay his mortgage, hopefully.
I'm going to agree with you on that, and I want to drag you in here for a show, and we'll talk about that. I have a left curve question to ask you. Do you ever meditate?
I do meditate, and I got to say, I was listening to the last speaker, and here's an anomaly. Is I am a fighter. Right? I don't fight anymore, but my youngest is. My youngest meditates as part of having to, you know, not so much at jujitsu, but I incorporate that in her long-term fighting strategy. My oldest one, who is highly successful, does not meditate at all. Cannot, will not, and is just not compatible with her.
How about you? Do you meditate?
I actually do meditate. Yes, I do.
Okay, I will own that. You know, I'm not good at doing that, but I'm gonna take a class.
Isn't.
I'm gonna learn.
Well, my daughter isn't, but that doesn't. I don't think that handicaps you from being functional. I just think that, like religion, if it works for you and you can get something positive out of it, then better for you. Right, and I like to encourage meditation. I really do believe, you know, I mean, if you are a fighter, even a boxer has moments of reflection, you know, and that's a form of meditation. But I can remember long periods after long classes where we sat there and then at the end we had to share some of the thoughts that we went through our heads as we sat there and we controlled our breathing and got into, you know, other places, you know, in the sense of deep thought.
Well, thank you. Okay, well, thank you, and thank you for giving us a report on the general plan update, and I appreciate that you were there, and I have to say, it sounds like they didn't go deep into the land use issues, but
They even told me off on the side that they did have what we talked about and what I just mentioned on the plans, you know, the notes or whatever, but I didn't see it today, so I had to bring it up as, you know, I don't feel Hanalei is being well represented if you guys aren't talking about, you know, the processing units for the vegetables.
Okay, and thank you, and we'll talk about that more. I'm noticing what a listenership I have from all over the place. Do you guys know Tennessee? I got a lot of people from Tennessee.
Anyway,
so,
shout out to Tennessee. Aloha.
Shout out to Tennessee. Aloha.
Bye.
Okay, aloha. So we've got Tennessee, Missouri, Korea, California. We got a lot of people from a lot of places, kind of all around the world, too. Japan. Japan listens in a lot. We got Illinois, Mill Valley, New York. So we're giving a shout-out to everybody there. I see Fairfield, Iowa is listening in, and handful of people from Korea. I don't normally see Korea. We got Canada, Victoria, Canada.
How do those people know to listen, Felicia?
Because I put it on Facebook, and then it might be that, did you guys post?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got people from all over. So thank you, people from all over. And that was a little slice of Kauai. And I'm sure in every community, people are working together to try and make their land use and their areas work very well. So caller before last brought up something about the 1%, or I think I've even heard the square root of 1%, a small amount. Puna's nodding her head. Puna, do you have something to weigh in on that? Like, if you are meditating or there's a group meditation, do other people feel your energy? Does it make a difference in the... Does it put it in a sphere, the way Don Juan in a Yaqui way of knowledge would say?
I'm going to say absolutely. We live in this ocean of time, and we're connected. The world is connected. And if I've seen nothing more, I'm going to say the influence when people are at peace, when we touch one another, that's what you feel. You feel peace. It comes from within. All that's been explained is about reflection of self, understanding yourself, understanding where you can be, and it can happen anywhere. So it's not like you got to set things into place, you know, and do a lot of preparation. It's bringing yourself to a place inside.
When we were at dinner the other night, you had a couple of really powerful stories. I won't make you go through them again, but like when you've been in places of crisis, like in Fukushima area during the tidal wave and in Mexico, when and where was that at?
Mexico was, I had gone to Guadalajara and then traveled to the mountain side of Tapalpa. And for about, we had, the hurricane hit. I had no idea. So I'm going to do this quickly. But there was quite a few hours because we were so far in the mountains for help to come. We had three people that got hurt, maybe around 6 in the evening, and two of them passed away, and it was from falling trees. And for about 6 hours, there was a wait for help to come. And I'm going to say, was I meditating during that time? I sure was. But I know I wasn't the only one. Because there was a reverence and a quiet in the room. And I was in room, there was about 145 of us at this place in the mountains of Tapalpa. And we came as people of peace from all over the world. And it just happened that this hurricane came and broke the treetops of this place. In that 6 hours waiting for help to come, the reverence, as I said, the calm was unbelievable. And in the conversations that happened the 4 days after, when we were in the town of Tapalpa, waiting to leave that area, because there was no roads that we could actually travel on. What came up and very evident was I wasn't the only one meditating. And so I attribute a lot of the peace that we felt and calm in that time to the ability of everyone being in that place or space. What you talked about, yes. The group is definitely influenced.
And you also are one of the founding members of Kanui Kapono, the Hawaiian Charter School in Anahola.
Yes.
And at least for a time there, the kids were doing transcendental meditation. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
And yes. did you notice an impact?
It made a difference. We have record, on record, the influence of the meditation brought up scores. There was a difference in the children, in their attitude and their learning styles. There is record, as I said, of that history. In fact, we were blessed by the Lynch Foundation.
The David Lynch Foundation?
Yes, that helped us to have that opportunity.
And we had a chance to actually measure some of the brainwaves of the students there. Beautiful, beautiful kids, but very nice brainwaves from the meditation. Very coherent, very orderly. You could tell it could make a difference.
In researching this topic, I saw that in the difficult areas in that San Francisco Bay Area, some of the schools there have been also brought into doing this, and yeah, it's been helpful.
San Francisco School District is the largest school district in the United States.
Oh, I didn't know it.
Yes, and this school, terrible problems with drugs and everything you can imagine that could be bad in school. And they went in and they were a little reluctant at first. And now the moral of the story is that 90% of the schools in the largest school district in the world are waiting to start the Transcendental Meditation Program because of the profound, dramatic changes that took place in this one school. Just phenomenal. Less absence, less violence, students getting better grades, more attentive, wanting to learn. And then the beautiful thing that happens is they start winning all the competitions. Mm-hmm. Math, science competitions, the speech competitions. That's when you can really see.
Tell them about the Peru school, or the Bolivian.
Yes, we were in Bolivia, and there's this school that all the students learn transcendental meditation.
This is in the mountains above La Paz. It's mm-hmm. way up in the mountains.
Right.
It's basically a bunch of huts and little buildings.
Yeah, they didn't even have money for the school, so they have this kind of structure, but there's no roof, so when it rains, they all go to the homes. They're a very poor school, and they would go to some of the competitions, the dance competitions and the science, and they were... You know, they didn't do too well. And they learned transcendental meditation. And so they started going to more of the competitions, and they are top now in the whole, all of Bolivia.
Well, I think that probably doesn't really sound so surprising to people who live a little bit closer to indigenous ways. I know that I did have the blessing of spending a few weeks in Peru, deep in the Amazon, and they were some of the most intelligent people I'd ever met. Now, weren't really very formally educated, but their profession was surviving in the jungle, and they were sharp, 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 and, you know, no different than us. I would sit there and just be looking, you know, at how very close to, you know, our animal selves the life would be in terms of, you know, being able to run across the tops of the trees and throw a spear at a fish at 6 years old and catch it and all that kind of stuff. But when you sit down and talk story, I felt like I could be at the Nui or something. You know, we're all really basically the same, thinking about, you know, our argument with our sister or, you know, how we're going to rearrange our place or something, you know. But what they were good at, and I was so humbled with the experience of being there and just how bright and intelligent these people were and how close to, you know, their centers they were. So when, like, I don't know what transcendental meditation really is yet, but from what you're saying, you know, they probably live pretty close to that space to be so at one with the environment there. And I'm not surprised that they could put it into an applied thing. One little other piece in that story for people who know my family, we went down there to put in a solar power system in an ecotourism village that was opening up, and they had already built this space like 200 feet up in the air, or 150, way too tall for me to feel comfortable. And, you know, they installed this, they put it together with, you know, being told once this is technology that they don't use. It was brand new to them, the electronics, and they made it happen. So I am not surprised that these people living in a roofless village or at least school, were able to just really thrive. But clearly the TM was a door opening to being able to shift their brain waves, to being able to adapt to that more Western style of learning information.
And I just wanted to say the beautiful part of it, too, is they all meditate together. So just this group coherence kind of changed the whole consciousness of the entire area. And now the government is building them a very beautiful school.
Wonderful. And I heard that there's a really good Catholic priest that is overseeing some elements down there, I believe, in that same country. Is that?
Colombia.
In Colombia. Okay, yeah, different country.
His name is Father Mejia, Father Gabriel Mejia. He's a beautiful man. And 27 years ago, he started opening homes all around Colombia, taking in the abandoned children and ones with problems with drugs, the street children.
And from the guerrillas.
And from the guerrillas. And he found that he would give them love, he'd give them shelter, beautiful places. Places to play and sports, but it wasn't enough. And it wasn't until he came to the United States and he was actually learned Transcendental Meditation himself. He brought it to these homes, and that's when he realized, he calls Transcendental Meditation a lasting rehabilitation, because it's able to give these kids, that some of them that have been with the guerrillas for years have tremendous amount of stress, and give them a technique that they can start to rehabilitate and start to heal from the inside out. So it's amazing. And as a Catholic priest, he really promotes TM in terms of rehabilitation.
And no doubt in alignment with prayer.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, so it's like that piece is all a part of it. At the top of the hour, we're going to have Jazz with John. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox on KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. We have a wonderful group of people in here that have a message about Transcendental Meditation and brain health and basically life health, world health. We have about 5 minutes to really bring out your most key message. Like, what do you want people to know? I think I'm going to go to you, Alaric. What do you want people to be taking away from this show?
Right. I think the individuals here in Kauai and around the world who happen to be listening, we have this gift, this human brain, and all these decades of research and thought and so forth. This is a gift which should be fully used, and it's always been the pursuit of civilization to maximize who we are for our own personal gain and for that of our family and our community. And we now know, after some 50 and more years of research, that meditation, in particular transcendental meditation, but any meditation, can have a valuable influence on your life to actually allow you to develop what is really inside you, to allow you to eliminate stress, sleep better, live longer, be more creative, just have a better life. And we know that it's based on brain coherence. The more orderly the brain, the more orderly our thinking, feeling, and behavior. And so if we want to have the life that we can envision, and even beyond that, all we need to do is just feed it enough orderliness, and it will project that. It will give you that. It's very simple, actually, and the research supports it completely.
Well, that's wonderful. Any final thought out of you, Cynthia?
Well, I really like what one of the callers brought up in terms of creating a group for Kauai. If you had 1% of the population practicing transcendental meditation, take a school, I read somewhere there was a group of homeless people, take them, let them start transcendental meditation, meditate in a group regularly, twice a day.
That's a lot of people. That's we're getting close to 25%, not 1%. But, yeah, you know, that is how many people. So that's a big group.
So you have a lot to select from then.
You have a lot to select from the people who are struggling.
Yeah, you don't have to look for them. They'll be easy.
And let's keep track. Let's do scientific research, actually monitor the crime rates, monitor all the things that you want to try to accomplish that aren't getting accomplished. You will see amazing results. Things will just start fitting together. Everything that you want Kauai to be will start to blossom. It would be a great thing to do, and we're happy to help in any way we can.
Okay.
I would say that...
This is Dawn.
This is Dawn. And
who lives here.
Who lives here, right, and teaches TM here. I would suggest that everybody that's considering TM and perhaps having any reservations, come and talk to some of the teachers on the island and have those reservations put to rest. This is such a simple technique. It's so easy. It's an investment in time. I hear all the time, I don't have time to meditate. But you'll get so much more done, as has been brought out by everybody here. It's an investment in time. It's simple to do. And if you compare it to anything, you could compare it to how you feel after you've had a really good night's sleep. You get a whole lot more done. You feel better. You're friendlier. And you're not snapping at people. If you're exhausted and you're trying to get a lot done and you find yourself sniping at your friends or family, we all say, oh, don't bother me. Don't worry about me today. I'm not myself. I'm not myself. So this is how to get in touch with your real self, your relaxed, peaceful self. Try it out. You'll love it.
Thank you.
I'd like to say that here is an opportunity of a gift that continues to give to yourself. Take the time. Make the time. Learn about it. Be a part of it. And it definitely will be a gift that you give yourself, your family, and the people that you're surrounded with that help to nurture you. You can nurture them.
So there's an event on the 6th at the Freer Center at Island School behind KCC in Puhi, and then there's one at the Princeville Community Center, 7:30
this Wednesday night. You can meet your teachers, Greg and I, and you can learn in Felicia's class. There's an event at the Church of the Pacific on Sunday where Cynthia and Alaric will be showing you the brainwaves. They will be going through with a live subject there, so you'll be able to see what happens. So that's Sunday at 3 o'clock. And then at the Freer Center the following week, on the 30th, that's Saturday at 2 o'clock, I believe. And if you have any questions about this, you can call the numbers that we've given you at 775-455-1222. Or perhaps you can even go to, do you have that on your website? No. Okay, we have it. It's on Richard Diamond's newsletter. You can find information there if you'd like.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Marshall usually always has a little piece of good news. Marshall, what's your good news today?
Good news is that there is now a cross between the Segway and a wheelchair. That looks like it's going to change what it means to be wheelchair bound.
So Segway is the like little floating thing you stand on?
Right. Well, Segway doesn't float. It's on wheels, but it balances.
Right, okay.
You can't fall down.
Okay.
So in this wheelchair, the seat sort of swivels all around, and all you have to do is lean your body this way or that.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
Yeah, it can go fast, too. You can put off-road wheels on it. It can go it can go across the beach at 12 miles per hour.
It's, wow.
There was a video of a guy wheeling around a basketball court and shooting baskets.
Wow,
that's fantastic.
And do you have a second good news?
Second good news. On the animal welfare front, there are over a dozen big companies, including McDonald's, Denny's, Subway, Costco, who have committed to buying only cage-free eggs. And so there's a sea change in the industry.
Happier chickens.
Happier chickens. Now, they are still raised in a big barn with tens of thousands of chickens, but they are free to walk around, to perch on rails, to scratch in the dirt, and it's an improvement, being out of the little cage where they couldn't even turn around. So that's some movement. It is going to cost the consumer 15 cents per dozen more, but they've determined that people are willing to do that.
That's right. So thank you for those couple of good news, and we're going to hear from Amy Goodman, supporting KKCR, the station that loves you. And then we're going to hear the county council report, and we will go out of this show with a song played off the Desperado album for Glenn Fry, a member of our community here on Kauai from the Eagles, and certainly a very important person here at our radio station. And I like the time, the early time. I like all their music, but it seems like at the beginning they were more in the desert, and growing up in southern Colorado, northern Arizona, it was a good reflection of our area, so I picked this one. So this is Felicia from Kauai Soapbox, and Jazz with John will be following us. Mahalo for listening.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of January 18th. There will be a council committee meeting at 8:30 on Thursday, January 21st. The meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here are highlights from the meeting agenda. The Public Works, Parks and Recreation Committee has a request from Councilmember Yukamura for the Director of Parks and Recreation to provide a briefing regarding the Department of Parks and Recreation Parks Maintenance Plan. Committee Chair Kagawa requests the county engineer provide a briefing on the Transportation Investment Generating Economic Recovery Grant, including but not limited to the scope of each project and the specific plan to close two lanes on Rice Street in Lihue. The Planning Committee has on their agenda Bill 2609 for an ordinance amending the county code to homestays. A public hearing was held on this on January 13th. The Budget and Finance Committee has on their agenda Bill 2606 for an ordinance amending the county code by adding a new section 5A-9.3 relating to homestead tax cap for home exemption and long-term affordable rental properties. And this was deferred from January 6th. Also, the Director of Finance transmits for council information the second quarter statement of equipment purchases for fiscal year 2015-2016. The Committee of the Whole has a request from Council Chair Raposo for agenda time to discuss a charter amendment implementing the county manager system, schedule public workshops regarding the county manager system, solicit assistance from the ICMA, that's the International City-County Management Association, and have a member of the Charter Review Commission update the committee on the status of its proposal to implement the county manager system. Please visit www.kauai.gov/webcast meetings to view meetings or archives. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
So that county council meeting will be on Thursday this week instead of Wednesday because of the opening of the legislature. So now this song is with love and aloha to Glenn Fry, the Eagles, and all the many ways that Kauai has been blessed by the generosity that has come from him.